Welcome to the Hey There Dad podcast. I'm Jorge.
And I'm Kenzie, and we are first-time parents navigating life with a six-month-old.
Postpartum is not just a mom thing. It totally affects dads, too.
We're here to talk about what's hard, what helps, and our wins and fails along the way.
Postpartum is no joke. So let's get into today's topic.
We wanted to talk a little bit about why we made this podcast. We, like we mentioned, are parents to this little six-month-old. He's a cutie. Say hi. And we realized that there were a lot of resources that I was able to look up and I was able to research. But when it came to resources for dads, for Jorge, there wasn't as much, especially not catered towards dads.
There were so many moments in the process of getting to, you know, help Kenzie give birth to my son that were so confusing, or I thought that I had the idea of what to do or I had a plan, and I felt like I was letting my wife down. The process of just raising a kid is very beautiful, but it was very difficult, and it's something that we want to bring to dads out there, that you're not alone. I've been there.
In today's episode, we are going to go over a couple of things that you can do to help your wife, why it's so important to be a supportive partner throughout the whole labor and delivery and newborn phase, as well as how to help with breastfeeding. You may say, there's no way I can help with breastfeeding. I promise you there are. So we're going to go over those, as well as how to put a breast pump together. Jorge will tell everyone that I packed way too much for going to the hospital.
Yes.
I had no idea what to expect.
Yes.
Either. I'd done my research.
Let me say something. This is the reason why I say this, not because it was too much. It's because who's going to carry that into the hospital? And who's going to carry that out? Your wife's going to be too busy either with pain or with the brand new baby. And so there's definitely things that you need to bring. You cannot skip on that. But there's definitely other things that we should bring that stay in the suitcase the whole time. So we can talk about that.
So I brought several outfits.
Several outfits.
For Ezra. For our baby.
Yes.
Not knowing that he probably wouldn't be wearing a lot of clothes.
Yes.
I mean, he wanted to be checked a lot of the time. He needed to be checked yeah, a lot of the time. In addition, skin to skin, I'd heard about it and I was planning on it. But that was another big reason that I wasn't really wearing a lot of clothes and neither was he. Because skin to skin helped a lot with breastfeeding. So ultimately, he was in a diaper. And a swaddle. But we didn't use the outfits. I think I put him in one finally, like to go home in. I wanted him to be cute. Not that he wasn't already cute. I wanted him to be all dressed up for that experience, just for pictures and for me, like that memory. But there were lots of clothes that I did not need to pack.
I think I would just say just one or two outfits.
Yeah. Like
one or two outfits.
Two to be safe, but you don't need three or four or five, unless you know you're going to have an extended hospital stay.
Yeah.
Like if you have a little preemie baby or, you know, complicated pregnancy that might warrant a longer hospital stay. Yeah. But yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Oh, I also packed makeup and a curling iron.
Yeah.
There was no way I was going to use that.
That did not happen.
I was optimistic.
And we're not saying that women cannot get pretty and makeup and all these things.
Some people do.
Some people can pull that off, but it's just, it might not happen. So maybe bring a little light makeup thing if you want, but don't bring the whole shop that you have going on at the apartment.
I also packed a boppy pillow, which is like, it's a curved pillow that goes around your waist for breastfeeding.
Yeah.
I don't think we pulled that out either because we just used pillows.
Yeah.
Ezra was not experienced enough for that to work well at that point. We use it all the time now. But it took up a lot of space in the hospital bag and probably was not necessary.
Yeah. I mean, of course, bring clothes for yourself as a dad, because you have to wear clothes. You can't not.
Dads can't be going without.
Yeah. So for you, if anything, the bag or whatever, it's going to be full more of your stuff than their stuff. But just remember, you might just going to be there for the day that your son or daughter is born and then that's it. Or you might stay a little bit more. But you're not going to need that much. There's always people that can bring you stuff that you forgot. There's always, you know, family members are going to come and see the baby. And so
tell them to bring you food.
Yeah. Don't be afraid like that. You're in the lowest point of your life, but in the highest point of happiness in your life. But it's going to be rough. And just don't be afraid to receive help from everyone around you that is willing.
An unexpected need that I had was just how many people were going to be texting me and calling me.
Yeah, there were a lot of people that wanted to know or that could have been offended if we were to not tell them that whatever's going on.
And I didn't have the energy. They were texting and calling me, and I was like, I am focused on my one duty, which was taking care of Ezra. So I was exhausted. I didn't have the energy to respond. So I put Jorge in charge and was like, you need to respond to all these people. Be the point of communication.
We told them ahead of time that as we were getting closer and closer to the day, we told them that we were not going to be calling, FaceTiming, or doing...
We weren't going to give a play-by-play.
We weren't going to be updating everything as we go, because we wanted to keep it very special, very personal, and only for the people that needed to be there. So just be clear with your family members. Don't be afraid. This is your moment. This is your own family. And they should be able to respect that.
Yeah. So in that case, dads out there, you have the opportunity to be a rock in that case. When a mom has so many other things to think of, a dad will help so much if he sets boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah. Make sure that if wife doesn't want people to hold the baby for the first day or two, make sure that the people know. Or if mom doesn't want the baby to be kissed, make sure that the people know. It comes better when it's a rule, if it comes from the dad, because then they're a little bit scared and they don't want to mess with you. But just be the rock, like my wife have said. Be the hero of your family, of your new family member that needs it.
I was hoping that you could tell just a little bit about that first week, what it was like bringing Ezra home from the hospital, feeding, and all the struggles that we didn't expect in that first week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, nobody ever tells you that your son or your daughter, that a newborn is going to be someone that is so fragile, someone that cannot hold their head, someone that doesn't know how to get the nutrients that they need. We had a problem with Ezra when he was learning how to breastfeed. He was trying to eat his hands or just fall asleep the whole time. And so, you know, as a brand new baby, you need all the nutrients that the mom only has, unless you are giving your baby formula. But in our case, it was breastfeeding, and it was very hard, you know, because my wife wanted someone to know what to do to be her support.
Well, I had a big desire to breastfeed, which I think some moms understand. I don't know if it's as understandable for dads, like the want to for your body to give that to your baby. Some dads are like, well, just give him formula and it's going to be okay. Yeah. And I guess that's something that Jorge and I didn't necessarily talk about beforehand.
Yeah, I didn't understand how special it was for her to breastfeed. And just imagine me saying, you can just give him formula, it's going to be okay. That was not a good thing to say. So
dads, maybe have a sensitive conversation about that with your wife, because it really depends on her desires, and she might not want to breastfeed at all. You might not know that until you talk about it and make a plan. But it is something that can be sensitive and should be handled carefully.
It's already a super high tension moment. You know, the first week is super full of stress. There are so many things that I didn't know. And the first week, it was really hard because he didn't know how to breastfeed. And he was not latching, and he didn't show any interest breastfeeding, and he just wanted to sleep. And it was very scary because, for one, already my wife kind of just dropped out of the trying or the battle of learning how to be a mom. And then at the same time, my son wasn't getting the nutrients. And so then I was in a spot where I just couldn't help my family. I couldn't do anything. Going to work and get more money wasn't going to do anything.
I think that's one thing that Jorge wanted, like, to solve it immediately, yeah. Which is understandable. I would probably want that too. Even as the mom, I would have loved for it to just be wave a magic wand, you know, or have there be something that he could do. But ultimately, it required just a lot of support, like, and patience. And he had to be there for every feeding to hold Ezra's hands out of the way, because he just kept trying to eat his hands.
Yeah, he's a really strong baby. I mean, you know, maybe he came out as his dad, but, you know, eventually we got it under control.
Yeah, I know it was a hard thing to work through. I know there was a moment where we just had gotten Ezra down for a nap. We sat on the couch, and we kind of had to had to figure out how we were going to handle this situation. We both felt helpless in that moment because he didn't know what else he could do to help me breastfeed and provide for our son. And I didn't even know what to ask for. I guess, Jorge, what's one thing that you learned that you could do to help me?
Well, I think that you got to be prepared. I think, like, let's have a bottle of water always filled. Because apparently, you know, and it can be different, you know, for different women, it might be different. But for my wife, she was really thirsty as soon as Ezra gets to latch and start eating.
It was like a reflex. Like, yeah. My body literally... Like, I would be totally fine before, and then he would start eating, and it felt like I was in a desert and hadn't drank water for, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
It was so intense.
So, just be prepared. I mean, us as men, we understand the importance of tools and equipment and just having everything to do our jobs well. So, bottle water, if it has to be a gallon or whatever, because they start drinking a lot, get a gallon of water and name it, you know, your wife's. Maybe.
I was constantly asking him to fill up my water.
Yeah, we still had a big...
I had like a hydro flask.
Yeah.
Like 32 ounces.
It was a pretty good size, and she would just go through it. So, bottles of water.
But yeah, he bought a gallon size.
Yeah.
In order to solve the problem of filling up the 32-ounce hydro flask, he bought one that was like 112 ounces or something like that. So,
yeah.
You do what you have to do to make sure your wife has water.
Yeah. Water is one. I think the other is, you know, hold the baby as much as you can so that you can give the break that the mom needs for the first few months. Because they're not only dealing with learning how to be a mom for the first time or for the second time, whatever, but they're also dealing with the pain, the medication, the taking this amount of medications every hour or whatever. Or do these positions to help your body heal, and all this routine that they have to go through, to just do the simple things like go to the bathroom. Make sure that you are able to hold your baby. You know, if you know something that I had to do was to drop out of my semester, and it was okay. We didn't lose any money. We didn't have to pay yet, but we just started to know. We knew that I was not gonna have time to do homework, and also. To, you know, take care of my family, and so we have to do that. So be committed, be all in. If your wife, maybe your wife is not going to need time alone or away from the baby for a little bit, but just be willing to do that. Be willing to, like, ask all the time, what do you need? Or just look at the environment where they're sitting. Are they sitting on a chair with a missing pillow? Maybe bring a pillow.
I would say, though, you said ask what they need. I know... When I was in that phase right after birth, and for days and weeks after, my brain was foggy. I could not think of anything. So Jorge and other people would ask me, "Well, what can I do to help?" Or I'm. They would always offer, like, "I'm here to help you with anything that you need. Just let me know." And that was really difficult because I couldn't come up with anything. My brain was so tired and so fried from all the hormones and. Just such a big life change that I couldn't come up with anything. So I would say rather than asking what she needs, I would offer. Give a list that she can choose from.
I mean, something else that we can do too is keep the house clean. It can be a lot more relaxed if, you know, your wife sees that the room of where the baby is going to be at is clean, organized, everything is put away. Or all the hospital stuff is put away. The diapers are where they need to be. Wipes is where they need to be. All that stuff. I think, you know, my wife really feels a lot better when the house is clean. And I feel like maybe I could have done more when it comes to cleaning and organizing the home. Because I can do nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to get stuck in the middle of the night trying to change a diaper. And there's no diaper.
Yeah.
There's no diaper there. So just having things stocked also really helpful to both of you. It makes both of your jobs easier. Another one that I thought of was knowing how to take apart and put together a breast pump and a bottle. Because if your wife is breastfeeding or, you know, pumping, you want to be able to help with that. There's so many bottles involved.
Well, there's parts inside those bottles, too.
Yeah, yeah. And the bottle is not one piece. It comes apart.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can screw it and put, you know, but the actual pumping, the suctioning of...
Yeah, the breast pump, like a manual pump or an electric pump.
There are so many little pieces, diaphragms inside that allows it to make the suction. And you have to take apart that stuff, clean that really well, and put it back together, or else it's not going to work. So, you know, your wife might like mechanical ones. Your wife might like the electrical and mechanical ones. I remember when we had to do dishes, talking about keeping the house clean, and we had like two or three that were on the sink, and I had already loaded all the dishes on the dishwasher, and I was about to start it. But then she asked me, hey, are those clean or can you clean them? And I was like, yeah, sure. Don't worry about it. You know, you have to be, you have to show that you know what you're doing. So I said yes. And, you know, I just unscrew the bottle from the pump and I clean the bottle. And I just kind of clean the parts that just, you know, the straw, whatever. But I didn't take anything apart. And then, you know, I believe my wife saw me doing that. Of just like cleaning the parts, just kind of on the outside and not taking the parts. She was like, you know, you're supposed to clean all this and that. And then she started taking it all, this and the suctioning and the little nipple and the little, the handle. And then the handle has a little holder that makes it go up and down and retract. And it's a whole mechanical, well-engineered machine. And my wife just showed me how to do it and humbled me real quick. So you just got to know what gets clean, what does not get clean. And how to clean it, and also how to put it back together.
Yeah, because when a baby is crying because they're hungry and you need to pump to get a bottle of milk, or even you're exhausted and you need to pump before you go to bed or as soon as you wake up, it's really hard if the mom is the only person that can put that pump together or wash it or take it apart. That is a huge place that dads can help with. So... pumps have there's different brands, they look different, but they all have the same pieces. So we wanted to do a little demonstration for you here today about how to put together a manual breast pump. For those of you who are listening, refer to the YouTube channel so that you can see this demonstration and hopefully make your lives a little easier so that you know how to put a pump together in the future. Okay, I know Jorge's a pro at this by now, but he's got the baby in his hands, so... I'll show you guys. This is, it looks like what a lot of people call a backflow protector. So it's this little plastic disc. And this is the Lassino, I think that's how you say it. Lassino purple brand. That's their manual breast pump. Anyway, really, really great. I've liked it a lot. And again, this works with any pump. Some pumps will not have these two pieces, the plastic disc and this little piece that helps create the suction. Because with an electric pump that plugs into the wall, like the Spectra, that has different looking backflow protectors that will connect to your machine. Whereas this is standalone. It's nice for when you're in the car. That's when it's helped us the most.
Anyway. Yeah, and I also recommend to have one of these. And also, like, the electrical ones, if you guys like the electrical ones, just in case the electrical one runs out of battery. But anyways.
Yeah. We've tried them all. Well, we've tried three different kinds. And these parts are going to help you put it together. So for this one, you wiggle this, or you put the white piece into the plastic disc, and then wiggle it onto this top piece here. This little mechanism. So then once that's on, you should be able to pull this and it won't come off. You can take the handle and there's a little piece inside that connects with this piece. So you're going to put that on together and then this is going to insert in here so that then you can squeeze the handle. Then, yeah, and you can do it on the higher setting. So that it pulls out a little more. So then, this might look simple, but without this piece, you're not gonna get anything out. This is called, I think it's called a duckbill flap, because it looks like Looks like a duckbill. I don't know if you can you guys see it. Yes. This is really important, and you have to replace these every so often so that they do their job. Ezra wants it.
Yeah, he knows what it is for.
But you stick that on this little tube down underneath here, and it just slides on so that it creates suction when everything is sealed and in place. So then, after that's on, then you can attach it to the bottle, which will collect the milk. And finally, you have this piece. This is a flange that will go on. There's different sizes, too. Your wife will hopefully be able to figure that out. But Dad's, there's different sizes of this. So make sure you bring her the right size. And then that is a finished breast pump. So it's important when you are cleaning it, you know, once it's been used, you know, you take it off and collect the milk. You have to take all those pieces back apart. But comment if you have any questions about specific pieces or specific brands of pumps. Mm-hmm. We'd love to answer those for you guys, but hopefully this helps.
I think what we want to say overall is that make sure that your wife is taken care of. Make sure that your wife has water. Make sure that your wife has the nutrients to create the nutrients for your new baby. Make sure that you set the boundaries between what the new people or the family members can do with your brand new baby and what they cannot do. Make sure that if we're ready to go, bring the car around and leave it there and tell people that you're coming down. Make sure that if you got to bring a bunch of bags because mom wanted to really pack a whole lot of stuff, like the whole house. Make sure that you take trips. Make sure that you don't forget anything. Make sure that she's ready to go and she feels pretty. Even though maybe she didn't do makeup or whatever, she's feeling at the lowest. So make sure that you still find her attractive and make sure that she knows that. I think that the major thing is just make sure that she feels love and make sure that your brand new baby is taken care of by taking care of your wife.
Yeah, I'd say from a mom's perspective, make sure that your wife feels heard and that rather than just asking, what can I do to help, that you offer options. Give her a list to choose from. And I promise it's going to make life for both of you so much easier.
Yeah, try to be ahead of the game. I call it like that. Be ahead of the, babe, I need this. No, well, I got it already. Don't worry about it. Or, hey, could you text them? Yep, I already did. I got you. All right, so
be strategic.
Yeah. Just think of everything that they might need and go get it. Go get it done.
You guys got this. We believe in you. Being a dad is hard.
Yes.
It is. It's not easy. It's not for the faint of heart.
It only gets easier.
Does it? Just kidding. Maybe we shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
Being a dad is not easy, but it is.
You got it.
It's one of the most rewarding things.
Yeah.
Being a parent in general is just
one
of the most rewarding things you can do.
Yeah.
So you guys got this, and we are excited to talk again next week.
Yeah.